June had done all in her power to thwart Will's progress, sabotaging his experiments as subtly as she could. Whenever he got close to discovering the truth, she would reach her hand into his pants and he would forget pretty much everything else on the planet. Discovering a vaccine for a zombie bite had fallen squarely on her desk, and she'd done it. It was the brilliance of Dr. Baker's work that had pushed her to the results she'd been striving for. She'd used her experimental vaccine on the large black man known as BT and the Talbot son, Justin. She'd warned everyone that she wasn't sure if it would work or if there wouldn't be horrific side effects. She didn't want them to know yet she'd been successful, but she couldn't let the man and boy die. If there was any way to salvage her soul, she was going to try. She was warring within herself over how much she wanted to give these old cronies who would wield this vaccine for their own devices, making a world of have and have-nots from who was left. The haves, in this case, would have more power than they already did. And that was what it always came down to for those small-minded, small-dicked men. Power was a drug much like gambling, she mused. She admonished herself for giving grief to someone else's vice. Will was hunched down, his eye nearly connected to the microscope. June smiled. She couldn't figure out why he didn't just look at the 32-inch monitor that showed the exact same thing he was looking at through the eyepiece. Evidence? I don't see anything except some strange thing that may or may not be a virus. One thing for certain is that it's dead, not dormant. Are you sure? She got up from her chair. Here, look. He pushed away from the scope. I'll look here, thanks. She was standing in front of the monitor. Oh, yeah, right. He grabbed his laser pointer. See the edges here? If this were dormant, not dead, they would not be this blackish color and frayed like they are on the edges. This virus, and I'm hesitant to say that, is not viable for an injection. All the vials are like this. I just pulled this sample out of the cryo freezer. Could the freezer have done this? It was dead before it got in there. How long was the virus outside the host? June was reaching over Will, looking for the paperwork, her breasts pressed up against his nose, his glasses pushed askew. What were we talking about? June had grabbed the log and was pulling away, hardly noticing the flustered flush to her partner's face. 2 minutes. 2 minutes from extraction to freezing. How could it have died that quickly? Can we possibly bring the host here so he is closer to the freezer?
Oh, I don't think that would be wise, Dixon said from the doorway. He was the senior member of the Demency group.
Mr. Hawes, it's good to see you. Will got up quickly. June put her hand to her mouth when she noticed that much like a pimply-faced high school freshman who could not control himself, Will was housing a tent in his trousers. How he could not notice, she didn't know. Dixon did, though, avoiding the oncoming scientist's handshake as best he could. Sit, sit, Dixon urged Will. Show me what you've got. It's imperative that some headway is made with these samples. The talk of work got Will back on track.
Right, right.
He turned back around. Well, sir, I've taken slide after slide, and on every one of them, the agent you were asking me to isolate and replicate is dead. Not dying or dormant, just flat out dead.
That's good, right? Dixon asked, coming closer, but not too close.
If we were trying to make an antidote, I'd be more inclined to agree with you, but when you want this virus to thrive and be suitable for infection, it needs to be healthy and alive. Something like a flu virus or hepatitis can live outside the host for hours, and in some cases up to 4 days. That's why they can be so easily transmitted. This looks and acts more like rabies. It dies within seconds, if not instantaneously, of being outside the vector host. The only way to pass that from person to person or mammal to mammal is through a bite. And given all I know about the donor, that fits. Will had a shine in his eyes, hitting his stride and talking about things that fascinated him.
So you're saying I could have him drained of blood and it wouldn't make a difference?
Not at all, Will said matter-of-factly. Internally, Jane winced. She'd known the moment that Dixon Hawes had extended his hand when they'd originally met that she was about to make a deal with the devil, but her options had been entirely too restricted to refuse. Now, however, upon reflection, how bad would broken kneecaps really have been? She would have died in the outbreak, and her unremarkable but mostly upstanding life could have drifted off peacefully into the sunset. Now, though, she had a gnawing pit in her stomach that future annals would someday record her acts as grievous and traitorous to all mankind. It was the tarnishing of her legacy that scared her the most. Will's nonchalance didn't surprise her in the least, despite the fact that they were talking about killing another human being. It was all about the possibility of doing something unique and revolutionary, not what it took or who was going to get hurt to reach that point. "Would I be able to see the host?" Will asked. "You could see him, although I would not recommend getting near him. What he has makes rabies look like scabies. Is there a chance he would bite someone that would be more compliant?" Dixon thought about it for a moment. "It's possible. I have leverage." Dixon turned and left, now with the unenviable task of thinking who would be trustworthy enough with that sort of power. He wanted it to be himself, but he'd no sooner get in that cell with Michael than he would a pit viper. He could feel the malice radiate off the man even from the monitor he had in his office.